Okay, our next speaker is Dr. Long He. He's going to talk about some new technologies and visions in agriculture.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Long He, and I have been starting to work in Penn State about a year. And also, I have appreciated that later Dr. Daniel Bradbury sent out a little evaluation form for myself. Like, as a new faculty member, I was required to get evaluated for very important events like today. Appreciate that. So my presentation today is about precision farming, about some progress with sensing and irrigation technologies. So there's two parts of my presentation today. One is introduce some of general precision farm things, and then I'll give up about 2 to 3 case studies of my research based on related to precision farming. So why we need precision farming? The big challenge for us is the continued increasing of the population globally that was it was predicted that it would reach up to 1 billion to 2050. So there's more food being required for this large population, and also the available resources are decreasing, such as water and other energy. So how to address this issue, and then precision farming was proposed to address this issue, and then let's see how the precision farming is and how it could help. So precision farming proposed aims to develop a decision support system to improve efficiency and optimize returns with minimizing minimal inputs. So there's two major parts. One is minimize inputs, another is maximize outputs. So both of those could be contributed to precision farming. Minimize inputs, there's like, for example, we have the water use, we have and the energy consumption, labor needed for production, and also environmental impact, like how much pesticide are you going to use and this stuff like that. So how to minimize those input to the crop system. And for maximize output, so we could production yield and increase crop quality and also improve the production efficiency. So those are the effort that we could make to the precision farming in both directions. For precision farming, I listed 3 things here for the whole process. The first one is called crop sensing. So if we need to do something for precision farming, that we need to sensing the crop. Right? Here we need some sensors and cameras, or even some drones recently used for precision farming. And we have the plants, we have soil, we have environmental, right? We have the air temperature and stuff. So we need to sensing for the crop environment. And then we have the decision making. So based on the data and also the sensing information we got, we have to make the decision for the operation. So then we have the data model, expert algorithm network or interface. So those are for the decision making. Based on the information, we make the decision for what? For the field operating. And then for operating the production in the field, we have the machinery, robotics, they have control system, autonomous and field operation, different field tasks. So those are kind of cover the precision farming from different aspects. First, I would like to talk a bit about crop sensing. Crop sensing has been used for different things here. Like, I just leave a few things, but it has a long list. Like crop coverage detection, crop water stress detection, real-time crop load estimation, air identification, pest and disease infestation, soil mapping, crop nutrient deficiency detection. So it's a very kind of wide range of application by using the precision farming. And also a lot of, there is some application already, but another is also on the research stage. So for crop sensing, we have different type of sensing systems. One is called in-field sensing, so that means we put the sensors and other things in the field. So those sensors can be live in the field. For example, here's soil water sensors. You just like you put a sensor into the soil and monitor continuously. And another one is nutrient sensor. So there's a bunch of type of sensors can be live in the orchard or field, and then you can monitor the crop condition continuously. And another one is UV-based sensing. Actually, in large definition, it's called aerial vehicle-based. So this is just one example using UV-based, but that we have the aerial vehicle carry the sensor on board and to have the large scale sensing the crops. And this is actually it's very big trend for remote sensing in agriculture. And this one is an example that sensing using a thermal camera put on the vehicle and then sensing the water stress of the orchard. And another one is called proximal sensing. This is a little like remote sensing, but it's a little bit of a short distance, like you use the platform, drivable platform through the orchard and then sensing the crops. I list two examples. One is a phototechnic sensor platform that developed in Washington State University. That is, you kind of like put a sensor and cameras on the platform and drive this through the crop, and then you can get the crop information. That is mainly for the breeding program. And this one is another example that actually developed by Dr. Daniel Choi from Penn State. It's crop load estimation that have the camera that from the tripod that drive by this vehicle and drive through the orchard and get the information about the fruit as crop estimation, load estimation. And next step is for decision making. Here's just a diagram how a decision making works. So we have expert like, so scientists and other experienced people have expert and how they know what specific need for the crop, and then have sensing data and then sensing networks and give those information combined with expert, and then we can develop the algorithm models and rules to control the system. Here it has the controller accuracy system that developed to actually work for the operation in the field. And also the energy and control signals can be put into the controller and actuator system to run this the orchard work. And then field operation. After you have the decision for what you need to do, and the next step is to do it in the field. And here is just two examples. One is for the irrigation. And then when you get decision, and then you know the time to start and stop the irrigation. So that is the operating the irrigation system. And this one is an example from Ohio State, and then they are kind of for intensive sprayer system. So conventionally, it's just a spray anyway, but then if you use the precision farming, and then you can detect the canopy structure and the canopy coverage, and then you know where you should spray kind of precision, precisely to conduct a spray operation. So those are the field operations. There are many others, and then so here I will give about two of my case study that I all kind of conducted in 2018. The first one is sensor-based irrigation. This is a SHARP-funded project that NASA is the first year, and we conducted this irrigation research. So why we need irrigation? So it's very, it just kind of like, it's mandatory for dry in the same area, and it is also supplemental for droughtless or uneven rainforests in humid areas. So we do need irrigation for, especially even for here, we have some, we are in a humid area, but we still need irrigation for some days. And proper irrigation can increase the yield, improve food quality, conserve water and energy, and also decrease using the fertilizer and reduce environmental impact. So those are the benefit we can gain from the irrigation, the proper irrigation system. So for our research, we set up about an acre research block using for irrigation system. Here is a 1 acre tall spindle fuji tree block established in the FRAC center. We plan for 5 different irrigation strategies. We have the, for example, the conventional, the control, like we just use in regular, and then we have ET based, and then we have crop water stress and also soil moisture. Have 2 different soil moisture sensors. One is water content, and another one is water potential. So those are the experiment set up we did last year, and we tried this different the method. But last year is pretty wet year, so we didn't have too much chance to run very comprehensive study. But we did actually get some results from the sensing. So it's definitely very beneficial to the research in this year. The first one is called evapotranspiration based irrigation. It's called ET based. For this, we can see the water goes in and out from the crop system. What is goes into the is the precipitation is rainfall goes to the trees to the crop system, and there's two the water out from the system is one is transpiration from the crop, and another one is evaporation from the soil. So those are the water get out from the soil the system. So you want to keep the balance of the soil in the system, then you want the transpiration plus evaporation equals to the precipitation. But once it kind of like if precipitation is smaller, then you need to consider about the irrigation. And for ET-based irrigation, the most important equipment is a weather station. So based on the model that we picked, we use the PAM Montes model for calculating the daily based ET, and then we need a series of data from weather station, like air temperature, rainfall, and the sun radiation, and so on. So there's a bunch of data we need from the weather station to calculate from this model. And then you can say, last year we actually got a lot of data from the newer system that nearby us from Hollybaugh's orchard. And then those are very useful information that we used for this calculation. And then based on the model we did, we get estimated ET for a daily ET for the orchard we tested. And the second method is called water content based irrigation. So you can see that we used 3 of this water content sensor. The sensor, the installation is like this. You install the sensor into the soil, you kind of dig a hole and then place the sensor into the hole. And here's how we did it. So we actually did put 3 sensors there at different heights. So 1 foot, 2 feet, and 3 feet. So we have 3 sensors in this hole and to monitor the water movement during the irrigation or rainfall. And here's is how we kind of connect to the sensor to the data logger. So last year we used a data logger that does not have wireless data communications capability. So we went to data log to log data every day. And the third one is called water potential. For water content, it's very kind of obvious to see how much water in the soil, like you have the percentage of water in the soil. But for the water potential, is a definition for like how much energy the water has to move into the ground, to the root system. So that is called water potential. If the you have much more potential, that means the water, you have plenty of water, and then the water can be moved to the root system easily. So we also, here we did use the two sensors, and then the sensor the installation is like this. And also drill a hole and put a sensor into different depths. And also, that's also used, connected to a data logger. And then the fourth one is called canopy temperature based irrigation. It's also called water stress index based. Here is the sensor. We use the six sensors of this thermal sensor. And then we put it, you can see from here that the sensors will be mounted on top of the canopy. Normally it's about 1 foot from the top of the canopy and then facing downwards to monitor the temperature of the canopy. And then they have some models we can use to calculate the water stress. And then based on the water stress of the canopy, and then you can make decision like if this tree is on the stress or not on the stress. So I will give some very quick results here. The first one is ET-based irrigation. You can see from, we started this irrigation from early June and until the middle of October, and then we calculate, you can see this orange color is daily ET, and then we calculate every day for the daily-based ET, and then we have the rainfall for have the rainfall data, and then we will calculate the estimated deficit. So this is everyday deficit. Based on the deficit, we set up a threshold here. If we set up 1 inch, the 1 inch set here is because we will calculate 1 inch water, we need about 8 hours for drip irrigation to the field. So we said this is a very safe, kind of safe period of time, like 8 hours to catch up the stress. And then based on that, we can do the irrigation. Once this deficit is over 1 inch, we can start irrigation. And as I said last year, we don't have too many days actually has the deficit kind of over 1 inch. Some of them may have here, you see, but next precast says there's a big kind of rain here, so we will wait a little bit, like 1 day, so there's no necessary to irrigate. So it's also depend on the weather. The second one is soil water content based irrigation. We have here three sensors give us these readings continuously from the early June until the middle of October. And then for the soil type, we test the orchard, and then we define like 0.3 to 0.30. Here is a little low, maybe high, maybe 36 or 37. So in that range, it means the crop is in very good water condition. But it's below that, we think that we would like to start the irrigation. And we can see that the third sensor, actually, the very bottom one has a little bit higher. So that means there's the water moved downwards, and there's much more water moved downwards because there's too much rain, or you get too much. So it's really give us how the water move in the root zone. And then this is water potential based irrigation. It's very comparable to the water potential of water content based irrigation. And this, that the energy you see from here. So for the soil type, we use the clean loam soil is about minus 50 kilopascal. For that threshold, if that is above that, that means it's in a dry condition. If it's between 0 to minus 50, it's under healthy condition for the water content, water condition. And those are those three times for the irrigation, and then those green ones for are those for the rainfalls. So you can see last year actually there's many, many days are kind of at a very, very good water condition. The minus 10 is there's plenty of water. And last one is canopy temperature based irrigation. So we also, based on the model we used, we calculate the water stress, and the minus and the 0.4 is the threshold we would like to use for irrigation. And then if the crop water stress above, those orange one is the water stress index. If above 0.4, we thought that we need irrigation. But as you can see, there's a lot of them, some of them kind of close to one or equals to one. That actually is not means this in the stress, but the weather condition is very extreme. Like there's too much humidity, like close to 90% to 95%. Those are very influence the calculation of the crop water stress index. So we will continue to research more about this to see how we can avoid those kind of extreme conditions to make this model more accurate for our condition. So we will compare to those four different sensing-based methods. We found that using the ET-based sensor is easy to apply. If you have a weather station already installed, you just need to utilize those data from there. And then there's no infield sensors. You don't need to install any sensors in the soil or on the top of the canopy. And it can be low in cost if you have some existing system. But the challenge is this ET is estimated value. It can accumulate some errors, so it's not very accurate. So sometimes you also need to build you'll have your own weather station if you don't have accessible to the public ones. And then for the soil moisture based, it's direct reading of soil moisture. So it's very kind of direct sensing. You can see how much water in the soil. It's very easy to understand. And then the low cost for this sensors is not very expensive. But the challenge is you need to know where the root zone is, how deep it is, and the sensor location, how you kind of install your sensors on the soil type, and then to determine like the decision making for the threshold. And then the real canopy stress, sometimes if there is some extreme things happen, for example, you have more water in the sensing area, but other areas has not enough, and then may generate some stress on canopy. So this is not a very direct canopy stress measurement. The canopy temperature based sensing system is also a direct measurement for the plant stress. So if you have the stress index, then you know the stress of the plants itself. And this can be a little bit expensive for the sensor. The thermocouple sensor is a little bit expensive. But the challenge for this sensing system is the torque airflow sensor. So the sensor needs to mount it on the top of the canopy, and it also needs to facing that cover the canopy, not the ground. So if the location of the sensor is not proper, and then you probably measure the temperature from the ground. And also the climate challenge, sometimes if it's too humidity or the temperature is too low, the calculation is not accurate. That may generate some problem as well. So in the future, maybe we could think about the combination of using different sensors, like using ET plus the soil moisture based sensor, or soil moisture plus canopy temperature. So those are something we need to discover more. Since last year is the first season for this research project, that we don't have the water use for the different irrigation method yet, and we also does not have very good data for crop production, crop yield for different system. That is something we really hope that this year we have more data to support. So another example here is called canopy estimation using 3D LiDAR. And then for this research, the purpose of this research is we would like to do the 3D canopy reconstruction for mechanical summer pruning, precision spraying. or orchard platform out of gallons. So for those purposes. So how we set up this experiment. So this is the field that we used for the test, and this is the sensor we used for the test. Is a 3D LiDAR, that this LiDAR can give us the 3D point cloud of the object. So if we go through the orchard, we can get the 3D point cloud of the trees, and then we know the canopy shape and also the volume of the canopy, and even we could detect the wheels and trunk and the canopy, and also the trellis wire as well. And this is how we did in the field. So we drive this utility vehicle in the field, and then we can recording the point cloud in real time. We can get the shape of the tree canopy. And this is a little bit further results. Here is one single tree is like this. So this is the point cloud of a single tree. And based on this point cloud, we could gather some information we need. And this was the point cloud density from this tree. And what we would like to get from this point cloud, one is the canopy density. So we can, if we face into a tree, and then we know where is the most dense of the canopy. And then this yellow-orange part is most density of the tree canopy. And also we could get the depth map of the canopy, and then we know how depth for each area is. And those are the very direct benefit to, I think, is for this intended sprayer, that we could actually determine where we should spray more and where we should spray less. But this is still very initial research, and then hope this data could provide real-time information for the sprayer in the future. And this is a planning project that actually we got some support from our college extension, and then it's called Precision Sprayer Technology for Pest Management. We listed two things. One is from our system that actually developed it and also tested for many years from USDA IRS, from Dr. Zhu, and then also I also reached to him, and then hopefully can invite him come to Pennsylvania to give us some of update from his research on this purpose. Another one is a drone-based sprayer. This is a DJI model for a sprayer. But they're just still in the test, and let's see how those kind of UAV-based sprayer can be effectively to do the to spray application. For this project that we plan some activities. The first one is premium study. We will do some pest disease detection and a variable rate sprayer test in FRAG. And then we also work with extension Dr. Daniel Weber, and plan some workshop or seminar related to the pest management intended sprayer, drone sprayer. That one thing is that we would like to invite Dr. Zhu from Ohio, and then hopefully we will have this plan come out very soon, and then they can send out invitation to the growers, and then we could attract some interest from there. And also we are seeking collaborations from Penn State or outside, and then to see how would ask to develop this program. And then last, I would like to thank you to SHOP for the support. This is just for the irrigation project that SHOP funded, and then we did some initial research. And also Penn State College of Agriculture Science and Penn State Extension also gave some seed fund for our research. And also our collaborators from our faculty members, and also three, four educators. And some students and help for the experiment in the field. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your time, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Are there any questions?